The Committee of the Whole will now come to order. Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I think she must be in the west. Yeah, there she is. I just wanted to introduce the body again to our page from last year, Hallie Bell from Cody. She's at the University of Wyoming studying German, I think, now, right? Yep. So, anyways, thanks for coming back, Hallie. Yeah.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 194. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 194, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to driver's licenses, next of kin driver's license option. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, Pedersen, Korberg, Vronish, Swanitzer, Dave. No, McKim. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 194 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to allow my good colleague from House District Number 7 to explain the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill. Thank you.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you were, I'll be in the area all day. I would stand to bring to you the bill number 194, and I will explain the Standing Committee Amendment. First, I'll explain the bill, then explain how the Standing Committee comes in, and then we'll ask to vote on it. I passed out a little handout. Yours isn't in color, but it shows a driver's license picture on it, and I'll get to where that comes in. When you where did this bill come from? And I gave a little history and transportation where this bill came from. And it came in through conversations with people, and you have all kinds of conversations with people, and you figure out little things about them. You figure out that you have kids the same age. You figure out that other kids like Harry Potter. You figure out that they're good chefs. You figure out that their brother has a drink with my dad at a certain bar every day. You figure out that there's fraternity brothers of yours. You figure out they're auctioneers. You figure out their wives serve on the same board as your wife. You figure out all these things by sitting and chatting with people. So I was chatting with my physical trainer. Why was I there? Because I've had 3 shoulder surgeries, a knee replacement, my jaw's been dislocated, my nose has been broken 4 times, 4 concussions, all my hands have been broken in my arms. Where's this going? It's coming back around. Wait for it. So when you're sitting and you're having conversations with people, you learn stuff about them. And it turns out that he's a deputy coroner. And so he starts telling me about difficulties in tracking down next of kin. When they are out on the, and they're there, they pick up a body and they're trying to get to the family, trying to get to somebody. And sometimes it can take weeks, sometimes months, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And he was telling me the story about when he went up to a state that is our northernmost state with the longest ocean border of all of our states and the largest state. And he's tracking it down, he's Googling and going to a certain website rather and finding different ways, and finally tracks down this an officer way up in some very small city and says, oh, yeah, we know him. And the guy says, how'd you finally get to us? And he says, you know, in the path he went, he asked him, how do you guys do it? And he said, well, it's on our license. You can identify the next of kin on your license or ID card. So this isn't the first state to do it. Many other states, it turns out, as he went and looked it up, are already going through this process. And so what I did is I brought this forward, and you can see here a couple of things, and this is where I'd like to talk about the Standing Committee Amendment, how it folds into the bill, and then I'll elaborate on the bill again. In the Standing Committee Amendment, you'll notice that it makes a couple of changes in here that I think are important. On page, I want to talk about page 2, line 3 and 4, because it's really, this is where everything is. It's a very long bill, as you can see. With what we're putting in, but page 2, line 3 and 4, after department, you delete the identity of the next of kin, and then you're going to insert a symbol that is the designation, or a symbol that the designation of a person is on file with the department. And what does that mean, and why do we do that? Well, one is that next of kin probably isn't a good word, because some people don't have any living family. Some people aren't married. So this is a far better language to do that with. And then why do you want a symbol that is instead of listing everybody's names on it? Well, this is actually our new license as we issue it as a state. And as you can clearly see, there is absolutely no space to write the family name, the address, phone numbers, and all those other pieces. So what they'll do is, if you look also up there, they have underneath at the top, there's two little hearts that are next to each other, and that's a piece that is there if you are an organ donor. You get that small little designation. Well, what the department will do by rule is come up with a symbol that appears on there that says that they have this information on file. I'd also tell you that this is optional. You don't have to put this on there. It's just your option to include whether or not you want your next of kin listed. And a couple of questions that came up in committee that I think are important to address with the body. So one is that this doesn't make the department that covers transportation liable for carrying this information for them. They don't have to have this. They don't have to turn it over. They're just saying that they have it on file for people to request in case of emergency. Where it really comes in, because you get the help inside the state, because anybody who responds to emergency inside the state, say a patrolman or something, has access to our state database. If you get someone from Wyoming who's in one of the surrounding states and does it, then what they can do is call dispatch, is how it works. They don't have access, because for a series of reasons they don't have access to each other's files. And so what they do is they call the dispatch. Dispatch says, does it have this symbol on it? And that symbol is, they'd say yes, and then they'll tell you this is how you track it down, because it's the coroner's responsibility in virtually every state to find out who this is and where this goes. The other thing that we brought up was, where did we go with that? When you have this optional, it will just be a drop-down box, and can it be incorrect? And that is right. My very first job with the company that I work with now, I worked in estates and retirements, and what would happen is someone has named a beneficiary of either their estate or their retirement that they have since divorced from, or the other person has since passed, or their relationship is not the same. But what it does is it at least provides a trail of breadcrumbs or a tool for them to follow, so that when they call my old number and they say, no, the Pedersens don't live here anymore, they moved to the city in the center of the state, and then they can at least begin that tracking process. So this is just a tool. It is optional. No one has to put it on there. And it's something that is also not our first trailblazers. And so with that, I'd like to call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment as it tracks into the bill, unless there's questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was the no vote on the bill in committee meeting. I just want to explain why I did. It didn't contain an appropriation, but we know there's going to be money appropriated to the DOT to accomplish this. And as I looked at it, it's just one more area where personal information is given to somebody else, and then depends on whether you want to give it or not, but can be accessible to other people. Thank you.
Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor of the committee, the whole, excuse me, standing committee, amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is passed. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being just a minute late here. My question is, with the divorce rate as high as it is, how do you update the information? How do you get, if you've got your next of kin and your license doesn't renew for 3 to 5 years, then your next of kin may change.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, two pieces on that. One is that in order to accomplish this, to speak with the first question that was brought to us about total cost, the total cost to add this, because you have to buy the piece of software to add one more window, because what happens when I go sign up for my driver's license, I give my name, and that's a window, and I give my where I live, and that's a window, and then my donor, and that's a box down here. To implement this on our statewide system would be a total of $20,000. There's no appropriation because, to quote the department that takes over transportation, they just can take that part out of the hide. And so they don't. They can move flex authority, move around there. That's why there's no fiscal note. They didn't think it would cost enough to do. In answer to the second question, when you update your driver's license, you will be given the option at that point to update your beneficiary the same way that they show you your current information, and they say, "Is this correct?" And then you confirm whether or not it's correct. And once again, to reiterate, sometimes your driver's license. In this state, your driver's license address can be wrong. Legally, you're supposed to go update your driver's license when you move. Many of us do it. Some people don't. You get a card, you know, that you can fill out and you can send back in. But once again, I would remind you that this isn't a something that's written stone. It's just a tool. So if you get divorced, per the question in my previous example, or if the person that you're identifying passes away or various other pieces, it's just a tool, a tracking system, a series of breadcrumbs to follow in order to get to in order to get to where we need to identify the person that is designated, and so that we can help coroners track down what to do with our deceased citizens. I'd stand for any more questions, or if there's no other, then I ask for a question on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Korberg's motion, one of the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It do so with a recommendation that Bill number 194 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 194 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 243, introduced by Representative Crone, an act relating to human remains training of search and rescue dogs. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 243 do pass, and I will turn there are no standing committee amendments, and I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to its sponsor, the good gentleman from House District 24.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here today asking for the legislature's support of House Bill 243 that deals with cadaver and search and rescue dogs. As many of members of the body know, these search and rescue dogs do a valuable service for our citizens in finding folks that get lost or injured or are possibly deceased throughout our rugged territory here in this great state. Some of you may have noticed that just a couple weeks ago up in my hometown, the town with the world-class museum in the county that has two number ones on its license plate, that there was a and probably number one in your heart as well, there was a situation where two ice climbers were lost. In fact, were lost for a 24-hour period. My county's county with the two number ones search and rescue team was deployed. As part of that team, there was a search and rescue dog. The dog and the team were able to recover and find those lost climbers, and were able to take them to safety. And they were able to both be treated medically and are in good condition now. That is a circumstance that happens over and over and over again in our state. We have a lot of dedicated professionals that handle these cadaver dogs, these search and rescue dogs, and these dogs are the trainers and the training that's involved with these dogs is very rigorous. At this stage there's no state standards into how these dogs and these trainers are to be handled. There are proposed standards that will be going before the Sheriff's Association this spring. Those are based on some national standards that were adopted by various search and rescue organizations across the state. Now, there's no uniform system in Wyoming in regard to these search and rescue animals or search and rescue personnel, but in the majority of circumstances, these search and rescue folks are under the auspices of the sheriff of their county, and that is the situation in my county. As part of this training and this rigorous training that makes these dogs so successful in finding humans is a portion of the training deals with human remains. And mostly those human remains are in the form of blood, in the form of bone, or in the form of organs of deceased folks. And currently, as you go through the bill, you'll see that, and appropriately so, we have certain high standards in Wyoming on how we treat deceased folks. What this bill seeks to do is to add into and include an exception for these search and rescue personnel in the process of their training. So, for example, the search and rescue folks in my county will take a very small portion of bone from a decedent. They would place it in a covered area. They would place it underwater. They would place it in a camouflaged area, and they would train with the dogs. Currently, under Wyoming law, that would be a violation. In fact, it would be a criminal violation on how to handle human remains. So what this bill seeks to do is to provide and afford the protection for this training that occurs. Now, a good question that came up in committee was how is this handled? How are these human remains handled? For the most part in Wyoming, these human remains are donated by the decedent through a will or through a legal instrument or the decedent's family. They're handled with very much respect during the course of this training, and they are disposed of with respect also. In my county, when human remains are used, they are cremated after the training is done. So this is a really good thing for Wyoming that we have these sorts of search and rescue personnel, these cadaver and search and rescue dogs, and I would really ask for your favorable consideration to square this with our existing law, and I'll stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ready for the question? Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have to ask, and it's my fault for not following up on this, but I have an email from a well-known coroner in the center of the state, and he asks several questions about this bill, and if you will, it'll take about 1 minute to read it. He says, I've been watching House Bill 243 and agree with the bill and its general concept. I've worked with the dog teams in the past and believe they are a great benefit to the state. My concern is the lack of certification qualifications in the bill. It says, or persons certified by a state or local law enforcement agency to train, search, and rescue animals. This language provides that any law enforcement agency in Wyoming can certify a person to train, search, and rescue dogs. This is a broad area, and what will be in place to ensure the law enforcement agency is qualified to provide this certification? Another concern is that the bill does not specify what type of body part can be released. If a dog trainer requests a body, this bill allows for an entire body to be released to that trainer. What type of biohazard training will each trainer receive? Where will the body parts be stored? Will there be any background checks to be made into the trainer prior to releasing of body parts? Who is authorized to release the human remains to a trainer? He says there are a lot of these types of questions that I have to ask, and he said his comment is he thinks that consultation should be made on this bill before it continues. So.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Illaway. There are, as I mentioned previously, there are no current standards in Wyoming relating to these cadaver dogs or search and rescue dogs. However, the organization of these dog handlers in Wyoming have proposed a set of certification requirements that will be presented to the Sheriff's Association this spring. Those standards are based on the National Search Dog Alliance standards as well as the National Police Working Dog Association standards. So those two sets of national standards have been brought together and shaped and formed for Wyoming-specific purposes and will be presented to the Sheriff's Association for review at their spring meeting. Now, I'm not sure what the Sheriff's Association will do with that and if that will eventually come to this body, to adopt or to review. However, that's where the process is for these certifications. Currently, as it exists in Wyoming, there is no statewide standards. They're only county standards that are adopted most likely, or most often, I should say, by the county sheriffs in each jurisdiction. So that's how to answer the question about where are we in terms of certification, that's the case. Now, in terms of how the bodies are handled, or I should say human remains are handled, because the situation in Wyoming is an entire cadaver has not been used, at least to my knowledge. Instead, it's very small portions of human remains, as I mentioned before, some blood, a small piece of bone, skin, etc. So it's not a situation, at least that I'm aware of, and in my research and talking with these search and rescue folks, where you would have an entire cadaver used in these processes. That is on a once again, there is no state standard in terms of how the remains are apportioned to these search and rescue folks, and instead it's a county by county situation. And once again, it's a situation where only portions of the human remains would be used, and only in the circumstances where the decedent has allowed that through their wishes prior to dying or their family's wishes. So this is not a situation where it's only with the express authority of the decedent prior to that. So hopefully that answers some of the questions. Certainly if the body wants to address more of these issues on a statewide basis, that's something that we could do, but this is a first step, I believe, to help these professionals. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You ready for the question? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 243 does pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 243 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bilkrey.
Mr. Chairman, I request privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, fellow representatives, just above me in the West Gallery is a group. Acronyms can be fun sometime. Their acronym is WACTI, but they're the Wyoming Association for Career and Technical Education. This is a WACTI board that's above me, and they're from Gillette, Buffalo, and Sheridan. So please welcome our WACTI members.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As your friendly majority whip, I just would like to remind everyone to refrain from referring to each other with personal names on the floor. I've heard it twice today. I understand we all get lax now and then, but just a reminder. Thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 90, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding vehicle restoration. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended a do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vranish, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, representing Korberg, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Korberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 90 do pass, and I further move the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will turn the explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill over to my good colleague from House District 44.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the House, I bring you House Bill 90 today. This bill's origins were in a communication and email from a constituent who is trying to restore an older vehicle. He encountered some problems, and actually when he first sent me an email with his problems in there, I wrote him back and said, you've got to be kidding. But in further correspondence, he was really not kidding, and this is a real problem that he faced. In the course of purchasing an old vehicle for restoration, it cost him $350 at purchase. through the course of events, various fees and everything, he ended up having to take out a $6,000 surety bond to complete the process of titling and everything for this car. And so reviewing this process, it seemed a little bit onerous to me. And so the bill is very simple. Basically, what we're doing is we're taking and expanding the people who can determine the value on a car, so you don't have to go to an appraiser, or you're not locked into a high dollar a person to give you an evaluation. You have some options there, and then we're also changing the way that the title is received from the state, so that the surety bond is optional. And then you don't have to put out all of this money up front to get the title in your name and restore the car. The problem here with vehicles is when you go out to have them appraised and you need to get a title in your name, is that the book that they use, the NADA, only goes back 10 years. And after the 10 years, you're required to go to an appraiser, and that's where the money starts rolling up. And then you have to actually bond yourself, in this particular case, bond himself to finish the work to restore his own car. So there's a limitation in this bill that tightens it down for personal use, so somebody can't be in the business of restoring automobiles and selling them and circumventing this process with the fees. And that's pretty much the crux of the bill. The standing amendment is some cleanup language, which adds a comma and changes inspection. And I'll move the standing committee amendment right now, because I have a committee of the whole amendment that I'd like to move right after that. So I'll call for the question on the standing committee amendment.
The question on the standing committee amendment. All those in favor of the standing committee amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has passed. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I direct your attention to committee of the whole number one. What we did is we had some discussion in committee, and there was some concern over the language in line 13, page 2, at the end, about the automobile being able to be used by the individual who restored it. So what the Committee of the Whole Amendment does is it deletes the standing committee amendment that you just voted on and replaces it with the language that I'm going to give you right now. It's page 2, line 14. After issued, insert, notwithstanding the other requirements of this subsection, a vehicle shall only be eligible to be titled under this subsection if, on the date the applicant purchased the vehicle, it was not operational and could not have been rendered operational without substantial repairs to one or more vehicle's mechanical systems. The department shall define the term substantial repairs by rule and regulation. That is the committee of the whole amendment that replaces that language that we tried in committee to architect. I'm told by the lawyers back in LSO that this is a much more elegant way to to handle this. And I'd like to move the committee of the whole amendment and then call for the question.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for my good colleague from House District 44. This definitely clarifies the language, but I'm just wondering if by having YDOT define the term substantial repairs by rule and regulation, is that going to pose a problem for the county clerks who are titling this? Are they going to have to stay on top of changes in rules and regulations rather than just defining it in statute? Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, I have not had any contact with any county people who have had any problems with this, so I couldn't tell you that right now, but the LSO tells me that the language is consistent with the other statutes.
You ready for the question? Question being called on the Committee of the Whole Amendment, number one. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Representative Byrd.
Thank you. And I think I've pretty much explained it. Basically, what this does is it makes it easier for anybody who wants to restore an older vehicle for personal use that's outside of the existing statutes and system that we have, easier to do it without shelling out a whole bunch of the money out of their own pocket. Like I had mentioned earlier, the cost of this vehicle was originally $350, and by the time he was done, he had to take out a $6,000 surety bond plus the fees for title license and the other things before he even bought a single part. So with that, I stand, I call for the question.
Chairman Childers? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Korberg's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so at the recommendation Bill number 90 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 90 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I get a privilege?
Privilege of the floor.
Thank you, brothers and sisters of the 61st. I'd like to introduce three people in the North Gallery that are here for Leap into Leadership. Their names are Crystal McDonough, Corey Gosko, and my good friend Ashley Garitza, who is at our law school over the hill and most recently served as our current governor's campaign chair for that county. If you'd please make them feel welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you. May I have the privilege of the floor, please?
Please proceed.
Up in this gallery, we don't get people that travel from my part of the state very often, but our newspaper editor, Dave Peck, is here, and traveling even further from Austria is his exchange student, Daniel.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 227. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 227, introduced by Representative Gay, an act relating to education, constitution, instruction. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 227 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to one of its co-sponsors, the good gentleman from the middle of the state.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I bring you House Bill 227, and the intention of the good representative from House District 36 was that we have a little bit of bringing back the historical value, but also to encourage the instruction on our Constitution in our schools. And the thought was that it would make sense to do this, especially on Constitution Day, September 17th, or whichever day falls closest. So, Mr. Chairman, actually, that's most of the bill. And starting at the top of page 2, the State Board of Education, in consultation with local districts and grade appropriate requirements in the classroom instructions put this together for Constitution Day, and under small h down lower on line 9 down through line 18 it just specifies specifically that. And Mr. Chairman, I would just stand for questions.
Representative Harshman.
On and for the bill, Mr. Chairman. I just think this is really a neat gift to the kids of this state, and I think having this one day set aside. We do a lot of things like this in our schools, but really, I mean, it's been recognized since, I mean, our earliest presidents, John Adams, and certainly Thomas Jefferson, the Northwest Ordinance, and setting aside school lands, and really the whole foundation of our public schools is to educate citizens to belong in a democracy. And I think it's just an incredible gift, really, to our students. It will be really a neat thing in the years to go, in the years to come. So I encourage your support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so at the recommendation, Bill number 227 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 227 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 204. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 204, introduced by Representative Gay, an act relating to public schools, patriotism in the classroom, requiring a flag to be displayed in each classroom as specified. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Croker, Crone, Teeters, no, Connolly, Freeman, Madden, absent, Laux, signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 204 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will describe it briefly for you. Essentially, this bill requires that every classroom in the state will have a standard-sized flag on display and that they will do the pledge every morning. It also allows for students that wish to not do the pledge that they don't have to. The issue with the size of the flag was an issue with the committee because flags are not exactly 3 feet by 5 feet. So we struck that language and inserted a standard-sized flag. All the schools have these. They can get one from their janitor. We also struck the language behind the word the Pledge of Allegiance on line 11 to the balance of the line, which was requiring the school district to cover the legal costs and expenses of a practitioner if someone issues a writ of mandamus, and we thought that was a little beyond the scope of the bill. And so the committee did some good work. We improved the bill, and I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the city in the center of the state. I would call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good chairman of the Education Committee really has already described the bill. It's pretty short, simple. Requiring that a flag be displayed in the classroom, and I can remember from my school year days, I think that's where I began to gain my greatest appreciation for the flag, was our daily recognition of the flag and discussions even in our schools about patriotism and those things that we value in our country, the things that people are willing to fight for and defend. So I think this is a very good bill. I urge your support of it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so at the recommendation, Bill number 204 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 204 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to charter schools appeal process. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 225 do pass. And I would like to... I move the Standing Committee Amendment, and the sponsor of the bill will explain the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill. And if she can't, I will help her.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I may need some help because I don't happen to have the official copy of the Standing Committee. Thank you very much. Charter school appeal process. This bill in your box is a page that on two sides it has a flow chart. On one side it says the current appeal process, and on the other side it says the proposed appeal process, and that's really the best way to kind of track what's going on in this bill. Currently, under our charter school laws, if you're looking at the current appeal process flow chart, a charter school applicant or a existing charter who is up for renewal and is in front of the local school board, when they submit that application to the board has a couple of choices. They can approve the charter, in which case they simply contract with the district for the provisions of the charter, or they can deny it. If it's denied, then the applicant may appeal that decision to the State Board of Education. And currently, the State Board can they hold hearings and they look at that situation. They can uphold the decision of the local board, or they can remand it back to the local board. And then the local school board has another opportunity to look at it, and after they've looked at the recommendations back from the state school board, the local board, still the only authorizer in the state, can either approve it or deny it. And if they deny it, it goes back again to the State Board of Education. But we have heard testimony from the state board that they were frustrated by this process because they don't actually have any authority to actually do something if they believe that the charter application is complete and meets the requirements, or that the local school board has acted in error. And so what we proposed to do in this bill is reflected on the flow chart on the other side. And so the change would be that after the local school board denies the charter, then they can go take their appeal to the State Board of Education. The State Board of Education then has several choices that they can make. They can uphold the decision of the local school board, in which case existing law clearly states that if that decision is assumably is a denial or a revocation of an existing charter, if the state board upholds that, it just goes back and that applicant would not be eligible to submit another application or try again for 12 months. They can also approve the charter. If they look at it and realize that it is a complete application and that it does meet all the requirements, it's economically viable, it meets the needs of the community, it's got lots of community support, they have taken into consideration all of the curriculum, all of the requirements that they need, then they can approve the charter and they send it back to the local board. Or they can approve the charter with modifications. And when that happens, they can submit those modifications back to the, and actually, Mr. Chairman, this might be a good time. I think the standing committee amendment has already been moved, and I would call your attention to that because it kind of lays out very clearly that on line or page one, line 30 of the amendment, it shows where if the charter or application subject to modifications by the state board to cure deficiency, and then the state board shall provide the charter school or applicant 15 days after the state board has entered its order to submit to the state board proposed modifications. And if the state board finds the proposed modifications cure the deficiencies, then it remands that appeal to the district board with written instructions to approve the charter or application as modified. And if the state board finds the proposed modifications do not cure the deficiencies, it shall enter an order denying, refusing to renew, or revoking the charter as applicable, and which means it, again, kicks back into that. You need to wait a year before you can come back for another application. Mr. Chairman, there is a committee of the whole amendment that we think improves this slightly by giving the local district another opportunity to comment. But at this point, I would call for the question on the standing amendment or answer any questions and call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of the standing committee amendment, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has passed. Back on the bill, Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate at this time, I would like to move the committee of the whole amendment number one to House Bill 225 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Committee of the whole amendment has passed. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 225 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. House Bill 225 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 226. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 226, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to public health and safety, raw agricultural commodity inspection exemptions. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz. No, Blake, Semlick, Swanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlick, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Semlick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 226 do pass. I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the bill sponsor from House District 52.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 61st, I bring you House Bill 226. Wyoming statute also in your box just landed a single page with two sides with a handwritten title on the top for House Bill 226, which will be helpful to you. Wyoming statute 357124A requires all establishments that process, distribute, store, or sell food to be licensed by the Wyoming Department of Agriculture, but it specifically exempts agricultural producers. And it has done so for I'm not sure how long, and maybe as long as the law has been in existence. It was brought into the revised food laws in 2000, but my understanding is that language was existing before, and the legislature then pulled it forward. This bill clarifies that the intent of the legislature is that agricultural producers who are exempt from licensing are also exempt from inspection. This bill is necessary because, as can be seen in the excerpts
of both an initial informal AG opinion and a follow-up formal AG opinion, which actually binds an agency, that the former Attorney General believed that the department has broad authority to inspect anybody, anywhere, and for any reason, if they ever sell a half a beef, a bushel of tomatoes, a sack of grain, or a dozen eggs off of their place, and in fact, that under current statute, they are mandated to do so at least once a year. But if you don't have to be licensed, how does the department decide who gets inspected? According to the Attorney General, they have very broad authority. I believe that the actual intent of the 55th legislature at the turn of the millennium in the year 2000 was that agricultural producers would be exempt from both licensing and inspection. This bill makes that very clear. This bill says that the 61st legislature does not believe that the Department of Agriculture has the authority to inspect every farm and ranch in the state, licensed or not. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would call your attention to the handout. And on the first page, which was the informal opinion, it quotes the statute, an agricultural producer shall be exempt from the licensure requirement in this section for processing, distributing, storing, or sale of any raw agricultural commodity he produces. And then call your attention to the highlighted areas. The Attorney General said that an agricultural producer who slaughters and processes his own beef and then sells the beef in its raw or natural state is not required to apply for and receive a license. And then just below that, however, although the producer may be exempt from the licensure requirements, he is subject to inspections. And then on further down, a note, inspections are not limited to licensees. Any person, including an unlicensed agriculture producer, is subject to inspection if he has a factory, warehouse, or establishment wherein he manufactures, processes, packs, or holds his food. On the reverse side, you have the formal excerpts from the formal Attorney General's opinion. So when I read this first AG opinion, I was quite frankly appalled. And so we requested the formal opinion, and here's the question we asked them. Says, in the informal opinion, you state that the agricultural producers are exempt from licensing, but they are not exempt from required inspection. This appears to authorize the Department of Agriculture to inspect every unlicensed farm or ranch in the state if they directly sell any food they produce to an end consumer. I question the legal authority to subject every agricultural producer in the state to department inspection. In your formal opinion, please delineate exactly who would be subject to inspection, exactly how the unlicensed agricultural producer to be inspected would be identified, and exactly what circumstances those inspections would be called for under Wyoming law. And I didn't get very satisfactory answers. As you can see, it says the statutes do not specify how unlicensed producers, if they fall under inspection, are to be identified. It did note that every one of those facilities needs to be inspected at least once a year. And it it said, as a result, identifying producers to be inspected is left to the discretion of the Department of Agriculture, which has the broad statutory duty to conduct inspections. And when, in answer to the question, what circumstances would trigger these inspections? It's unclear what you're asking. But the Department of Agriculture is authorized to inspect any agriculture producer. So, that being the case, what this bill does is insert a inspection exemption in 35.7.121 that just simply mirrors the language under the licensure exemption and says that an agricultural producer shall be exempt from the inspection requirements in this section for processing, distributing, storing, or sale of any raw agricultural produce commodity he produces. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking against the bill, I'd like to tell you all about my first job when I was 4. It was collecting eggs from our chicken coop and selling them to people. Which was a good thing. Nobody ever got sick, as far as I know. If they did, didn't tell me. They don't hurt my feelings. But however, last August, we had 228 million eggs recalled in this country and spent 3 months doing a Food Modernization and Safety Act in regards to this issue. Actually, one of the main bringers of that bill was our own U.S. senator from the same county as the sponsor of this bill. And so the rest of the country is moving in the other way due to these illnesses and outbreaks and potential hazards. And I just find it interesting Wyoming's going to go in reverse. And not that we don't go in reverse of a lot of federal laws and regulations, but when it comes to food safety and health, I'm just not sure this is the way we want to go. I also don't understand how this is going to work with farmers' markets. If they're selling a raw agricultural commodity, they don't have to be inspected or licensed, but their next neighbor does. And it's just... And it's not that I have great concern with the bill. I don't think anybody needs to have great concern with it until somebody gets sick. And then people are going to say, well, where were we and why would the legislature pass this law? And so, you know, I'm not strongly opposed, but I do think there's a lot of concerns. I do think the country's moving the other way, and I would ask you to vote no.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's quite embarrassing, actually, that we even have to consider legislation like this. You know, it's amazing how far we've come in our social evolution. But for a farmer or a rancher or a person in agriculture to be able to sell their raw commodity is kind of like apple pie and the Star Spangled Banner. You know, I don't understand. I think it's embarrassing, like I said before, that we've got bureaucrats running out there that think that this is a bad thing. And they keep finding ways to, interesting and creative ways to try and enforce another law here or there, and they'll probably find another way to try and enforce a different law somewhere else in the statute to try and prevent this at some other point in time. But this is really a no-brainer, guys. I think we just need to pass this bill.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in opposition to this bill as well. Part that concerns me is line 1, or page 1, line 13, processing. We had a bill in agriculture called House Bill 11. It died in committee. And that was for processing beef on your ranch and then selling it at farmers market. I'm just real concerned that this is what this bill is aiming at, to quite possibly say, well, you can't come inspect us, but we're going to kill a cow, and we're going to grind it up, and we're going to go sell it at a farmer's market. So I'm real concerned at this, and just wanted to voice my opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, on and in favor of the bill. The example that was given to us earlier about an epidemic that happened in the country happened from federally inspected, mass-produced egg farms, and that didn't keep you safe. And quite frankly, The federal government may be going in one direction, but there are many, many, many of us who are deeply concerned about the direction we're going. Your food is safest when you buy it 20 to 50 miles from your home, period. The best food that you will get, myself personally in our household, I spend a considerable amount of money buying shares from an organic farm to our south yearly to get fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and fresh eggs. And I'm healthy as a horse and have never been poisoned. So I think this is a great bill. This is going in the right direction. This stimulates the economy, particularly our local producers. I would spend my money in Wyoming if I could. I can't, so I spend it somewhere else. On and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only question is for the sponsor of the bill is when we talk about where we're processing, and the word distributing is one that bothers me a little bit. Is this going to go into competition without being inspected with our state and state meat butchers' places or whatever they are? I don't know what they are, but I think you know the drift I'm coming from.
Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, I would remind the body that existing law, which we are not changing, has, since time immemorial, said an agricultural producer shall be exempt from the licensing requirements in this section, a different section, for processing, distributing, storing, or sale of any raw agricultural commodity he produces. We're not going to change that. It's there, and it's staying there. What we are saying is that we are mirroring that exact language, so you're already exempt from licensing. What we're saying here is that when you're exempt from licensing, you're also exempt from expansion, because how is the department going to know who you are if they don't have a way to license you? Which, if you don't have that, if we wanted them to be able to inspect any ranch or farm that ever sells a dozen eggs off of it, we would have to change that law, and that's not what we're doing here today.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's no intent here to disrupt the licensing part. From my concern, when we put on line 14, any raw material, agricultural commodity, what happens if a disease of some sort or another is reported as possibly being on a ranch or a farm that has distributed? Are we saying then that the Agriculture Department may not make an inspection? If we are, gone too far, perhaps an amendment can modify that.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the bringer of the bill and the other food producers in the chambers. Have you ever been inspected?
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we have. And it's because we held a meat distributing license, because our ranch produces grass-fed beef, and in order to sell that beef at a farmer's market, we need to be licensed, and we have been inspected. Mr. Chairman, to address the previous question, again, I remind you, this language, any raw agriculture commodity he produces, is in the existing licensing clause, and we are not going to change that. And in the case where you did have an outbreak of foodborne illness, then that is addressed currently and in all cases under a different section of the law, which requires the Department of Health to investigate that and to make whatever remedies or investigations that are necessary in order to determine what the source and remedies for that outbreak might be.
Chairman Brown.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on and against this bill, and I have at least one thing in common with what I heard. To me, it's ridiculous that we even have to consider this bill, I guess for the opposite reason. And I don't know. Do we all remember our history? Do we all remember that famous book written in the 1930s about the slaughterhouses, about the people in there up to their knees and blood and guts in the slaughterhouses? And there's nothing today to prevent that if they don't have to be licensed. But at least there could be an inspection to see if it's going on. All the massive recalls we've had, the plagues that have gone through this world. You know, we didn't start pasteurizing milk just to be arbitrary. We started pasteurizing milk because a lot of people got sick from it. And I have to tell you, when I think about someone out with an elk down, gutting that elk, and the diseases that are potentially there, brucellosis and chronic wasting disease being the worst, to me it's terrifying to be up to your elbows in the entrails of an animal that may be infected by those. Brucellosis has a human companion. Does anybody know what it is? Undulant fever. And undulant fever, for years and years and years in this country, was a terrible disease. And it's one, believe me, I've talked to some vets that have had it. It's something that you don't want to get. So here we are today, and we have these inspectors. I haven't heard anything about any abuse. I haven't heard that they're really intrusive. And when I read the whole chapter, and I look at the whole thing, there's a couple of things that jump out at me. They have a right to enter at a reasonable time any factory, warehouse, or establishment in which food, goods, devices, or cosmetics are manufactured, processed, or packed and held for introduction into commerce, or after introduction to enter any vehicle being used to transport or hold food, drugs, devices, or cosmetics. They have to inspect at reasonable times and within reasonable limits. They have to provide a copy of all their findings to the producer, and they have to be qualified by the department, and their qualifications include being a Wyoming or nationally registered environmental health specialist or sanitarian, a registered food safety specialist, or hold an in-training status and be working toward registration, be standardized by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, or meet qualifications set forth by the director in conjunction with the Food Safety Council. Only a registered environmental health specialist or a registered food safety specialist shall be authorized to recommend the summary suspension of an establishment license by regulatory authority. These people are not somebody that you just get off the street and send out to start arbitrarily invading people's property and bothering them and just being a pain in the neck. These people are trained and they know what they're looking for, and there's a good reason for having these. And I keep going back to pasteurization. And I have, if I can find it, I'm going to email out to everybody. I have an interesting article by our famous, I think our most famous cowboy poet. And the name of it's called The Luddites. And if you remember The Luddites, you know what he's talking about. And he's talking about irradiation of meat. Why don't we have irradiation of meat in this country today? We can put an absolute stop to E. coli with irradiation. Why don't we have it? The same sort of irrational fear of black helicopters and unknown drugs and stuff that's not natural in our food that we're talking about here. And why we don't have irradiation, and he makes the point that, you know, if it's your own food, that's one thing. But when it's food for somebody else, that's when it begins to get complicated. And so I'm on and against this bill, and I think that we really need to give some serious thought to history and some serious thought about why we got to the point we got to today. It's not just that a bunch of people sat around and pipe-dreamed this stuff up. Most of this legislation comes from things that happened in history and threats to human health. And so there's a reason they're here, and we ought to give some credence to that before we just arbitrarily throw it out in the name of some libertarian idea of everybody just getting to do their own thing. So on and against the bill.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you. I've got my thoughts together, I believe. What I was asking was that when we had our restaurants, we used to purchase meats from local processing companies that were processing Wyoming beef. And that's who we used. They were licensed and they were inspected. And does this allow somebody to go into competition with them that doesn't have to be licensed and doesn't have to be inspected? Or maybe I shouldn't have used the term licensed, but doesn't have to be inspected. That's my only concern. If you can clear that up for me, I have no problems.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely not, because under the existing Wyoming law, the only food that can ever be served in any restaurant, sold in any store, sold in any marketplace, used in any school or institution are foods that have been inspected. They have to come from licensed facilities, and they have to be inspected foods. This bill is not changing that requirement any way, shape, or form. All this bill is doing is, which our existing long-standing law says that agriculture producers are exempt for the raw commodities they produce. This says if you're not required to be licensed, as any restaurant, food processor, establishment is required to be licensed as an agricultural producer, you can be exempt from that licensing. And if you're exempt, What this bill would do is say that you're also exempt from inspection. But that would not allow an agriculture producer who was exempt to sell that in any marketplace. Thus, our ranch is licensed, and so that we can sell that meat in the marketplace.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And looking at the legislation here, on page one, the proposed language is very broad, very open, because it has, as already previously mentioned, any raw agricultural commodity he produces. One of the concerns I have on this piece of legislation is, last Saturday we went over to the University of Wyoming and looked at the labs over there that treat animal diseases and things and the contagion and the things that can happen, how this stuff can spread. And if you breach this inspection requirement shield that the state of Wyoming has put into statute and then place this in statute, I think there may be a question here if somebody has a food poisoning case that comes up that the state of Wyoming, you put it in statute, you're allowing exemptions here. I'd be awful careful about this.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Semlich's motion and the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so the recommendation that Bill number 226 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Okay. The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Pursuant to House Resolution 10-5B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, excuse me, pardon me, pursuant to House Bill 1005, let's do a roll call vote.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel. Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay excused, Gingery,
no.
Doggles,
no.
Greer, Greer,
excused.
Greer excused. Green,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Lockhart, Lockhart excused, Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlek,
no.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Ronish,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 24 ayes, 32 noes, 4 excused.
Representative Roscoe.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
I'd like to welcome from way up in the Northwest the top-notch squirt hockey team from Pinedale, Wyoming, up in the West Gallery, and their escort, Danica Ewert.
Pursuant to House Resolution 10-5B, House Bill 226, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of announcements and then a motion. The first announcement is the leadership of the Senate has asked me to clarify the visiting the Senate floor procedures. We just can't go in there and sit and watch. If you want to sit on the Senate floor, you have to be invited by a senator. That senator has to tell the doorman, and then you can go on to the floor of the Senate. Apparently, there have been 5 or 6 infractions, including me last night. Number two, the road and travel maps are up on the back glass so that you can see if you're traveling to the north. Be careful. Have a safe travel. Number three, be prepared for a fairly long day tomorrow, but that's what I said, tomorrow or Monday. Be careful for a fairly long day Monday, or be prepared for a fairly long day Monday.
What?
Oh, Mary needs mug order. The good representative from Laramie County needs mug orders. Where was I? I don't know where I was. Okay, we're starting at 10 o'clock, and we're going to go until we're done with all of the bills that need to be heard. There are a couple bills that are in appropriations that aren't on the list, but they will be out. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion is passed.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 252, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 232, recommended do pass. House Bill 253, recommended do pass. House Bill 264, recommended do pass. House Bill 191, amended. Recommend a due pass. Representative Lubnow moved that the committee of the whole rise and sit again. House Bill 194, amended. Recommend a due pass. House Bill 243, recommend a due pass. House Bill 90, amended and further amended. Recommend a due pass. House Bill 227, recommend a due pass. House Bill 204, amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 225, amended and further amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 226, following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Signed, Representative Green, Chairman.
Representative Green.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We're at that order of business, messages from the Senate.
Message 203, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 118, career and technical training grants, ayes 18, noes 12, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 204, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 131, Military Department, Federally Funded Positions, ayes 30, no 0, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 205, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 135, University of Wyoming, Federal Mineral Royalties, ayes 30, no 0, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 206. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 147, Service of Process Fees, ayes 28, noes 2, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 207. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution number 7, Bark Beetle Mitigation. Ayes 28, noes 2, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 208, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 113, Surveyors and Engineers Practice Act Revisions. Ayes 28, noes 2, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 209, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution number 1, Right to Hunt, Fish, and Trap. Ayes 23, no 7. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 210. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 133, Medicaid Diversion Program. Ayes 10, noes 18. 2 excused. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 213. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. No, Barbudo, Kennedy, Green. Excused, Brown. Signed, Representative Brechtel, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 11, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, no, Brechtel, excused, Brown, signed, Representative Brechtel, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 35, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. This was Senate File number 35. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, excused, Brown, signed, Representative Brechtel, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 241, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 251, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. No, Connolly, Freeman. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 235, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, no, Wallace, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 207, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish. No, Blake, Botten, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 208, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Brownish, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 237, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Kennedy, Korberg, Vronish, no, Botten, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 246. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish. No, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Peterson, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 248. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 244. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Moniz, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Kasparik, Lockhart, Stubson. Excused, Roscoe, signed, Representative Stubson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 24 engrossed, respectfully reports the same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparik, Lockhart, Moniz, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, excused, Roscoe. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 184. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller, Peasley. Excused, Gay. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
We're at that order of business, re-referrals. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I re-refer House Bill 213 to the Appropriations Committee. It has an appropriation in it.
It's been moved for re-referral of House Bill 213 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. No objection. It is so ordered. Vice Chairman Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer House Bill 244 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of House Bill 244 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Committee announcements. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, will meet Monday morning at 8 a.m. in Room H10 to take up Senate File 33, State Parks for Acquisition of Lands, and Senate File 41, Engrossed Film Industry Financial Incentives Program.
Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet Tuesday, February 8th, 10 minutes after adjournment, Room H17, to hear Senate File 18, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Act Compliance, Senate File 26, Engrossed County Roads Speed Limits and Local Authority to Alter, Senate File 42, Engrossed Choice License Plates for Disabled Veterans, and Senate File 43, Engrossed Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet Monday, February 7th, immediately upon adjournment in H-10 for consideration of the following bills, Senate File 101, Hathaway Student Scholarship Programs, and Senate File 71, Hunter Education Safety Courses.
Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will be Monday, February 7th at noon in House 18. We're going to start taking up Senate File 4, Elections, Military, and Overseas Voters, Senate File 23, Engrossed, Mail Ballot Elections, Senate File 3, Engrossed, Campaign Finance Organizations, Senate File 20, Engrossed, Election Code Revisions, and if there's time, Senate File 14, counties' election districts.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet 8:30 Monday morning to hear all re-referred bills. Thank you.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, Judiciary Committee number one will meet Monday, February the 7th at 6:58 a.m. to hear the following bills. Senate File 15, Court Jurisdiction. Senate File 22, Wind Energy Property Rights. Senate File 67, Guardianship and Ward Sealed Records. Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. And Senate File 88, Expungement of Nonviolent Felonies.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, meets Monday morning, February the 7th at 8 a.m., Room H11, to consider the following bills. Senate File 108, Remote Electronic Terminal Fees. Senate File 21, Property Tax Exemption for Nonprofit Museum.
Vice Chairman Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday at 8 a.m. in Room H18 to discuss two bills. Senate File 116, Engrossed Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery Microbial Conversion, and Senate Joint Resolution 6, Resolution Environmental Protection Agency Regulations.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will not meet on Monday due to the long general file list, and we will take up our business on Wednesday at our regularly scheduled time.
We are at that order of business. Cowboy Joe. The University of Wyoming is taking on this. Go ahead. Yes, run.
When you hear him come because the Western folks all know he's a high gluten, he's a Wyoming ragtime cowboy. Talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy. He's singing, taking music to the cowboy. And of course, from the saddle on a horse, pretty good horse. You can see the gator, and you ought to hear the meter through the soil of his beater on the rest. Just fun when you hear him coming, because the western folks are mad. He's a hot blue, green, green, sound of Wyoming. Ragtime cowboy, talk about your cowboy. Ragtime cowboy, Joe.
Very nice version of the polka, Cowboy Joe. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're halfway done. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, on four good weeks of work, four more, and we're back into our regular life. Be prepared for a long day on Monday. We have 17 bills on general file, 15 on the list, two on appropriations, which will be referred out and added to the general file list. Be safe. The first 10 bills for Monday, February 7, 2011 are House Bill 248, House Bill 246, House Bill 237, House Bill 260, House Bill 163, House Bill 198, House Bill 235, House Bill 208, House Bill 259, and House Bill 241. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Monday, February 7, 2011 at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The House is adjourned until Monday, February 7, 2011, 10 a.m.